Welcome to the Sermon of the Week podcast from Indianola First in Indianola, Iowa. We pray this message will encourage you and help you grow as you deepen your relationship with Jesus.
Well, good morning, church. Man, what a fun Sunday. Isn't it fun to be a part of ascending church? Isn't that awesome? We recognize Jennifer and Aldo, and they're going to Oaxaca, and can you ship us back some Oaxaca cheese back to this place? We recognize Empower Church, the church that we planted a year ago, we planted Empower, and they're doing wonderful. And man, we just got an email this last week from the pastor at New Journey Church in Knoxville. That's one that we planted. And he said, hey, would you mind being a part of our 10-year celebration? And I was like, 10 years? Holy cow. Man, we planted New Journey. That church is rocking and rolling, and Power's going well. Jennifer and Aldo, it's ascending church, and I love to be an ascending church because you know what happens with a pond when it doesn't have an outlet? It gets stinky. And there's some churches out there that are stinky churches because they're not sending. They're just getting. And I am so excited that we are a part of ascending church, and we're going to continue to send people from this place because that is our DNA, and that is the kingdom. God raises people. He saves them, redeems them, raises them up, and gives them a purpose so they can go out and do what God's called them to do. And I am just... thank you, Pastor Barry, for having the vision to be ascending church. I appreciate that so much. Well, back in 2016, there was an art installation that was that landed in New York City called Can't Help Myself. It featured a robotic arm that was given the task of sweeping up hydraulic fluid, red hydraulic fluid, and bringing it closer to itself. The fluid wasn't just for looks. It actually served a purpose. It gave life to the machine. Without it, the arm would shut down. At the beginning of its life, it had no trouble keeping up, and it was even programmed to do a happy dance when it got ahead of its work, which it did. But the real tragedy of this art piece is that it was designed so that no matter how hard the machine worked, it would eventually lose fluid. The more it lost, the harder it struggled to move. The decline was slow but debilitating. First, it lost its happy dance because it was moving too slow and it had to keep up with its work. Then the rest of the movement started to slow, and eventually it completely was shut down in 2019. This art display, it resonates, and when I saw the video and I saw the story behind it, it just resonated with so many things that I started thinking about people's lives and resonates with us. But I think the one that really stuck out to me was the fact that when I saw that red hydraulic fluid, it spoke to me a purpose. At the beginning of its life, that robotic arm had so much fluid and it had so much life, and it just seemed to just come alive because of it. But as the years wore on, its purpose disappeared, and as its purpose disappeared, it could no longer be sustained. As believers, church, we are not just redeemed. We are redeemed. We're saved. We're saved from hell. We're saved for relationship with Jesus. But it doesn't end just at redemption. We also have a purpose in our lives. We're created for purpose. And like that robotic arm, when we try to live without it, something just doesn't feel right. There may be the appearance of life on the outside, but inside and underneath, something just doesn't work the way that it's supposed to work. Purpose is essential to thrive in life. And you can Google this and you can see the studies that have been done. There's a mountain of science and research that backs up the idea that we were created for purpose. And when we don't pursue purpose, something is missing in our lives. Most of us, though, we don't really need the research to tell us that because we felt it in our lives. As believers, we don't seek purpose the way the rest of the world does. See, the rest of the world, they're like, they would just go out and do what they want to do. They go out and they, I want to do this, so I do this. I feel like I have a purpose here, so I go here. Or I'm looking for money, or I'm looking for fame, or whatever it is they're seeking. That's how they find purpose. But as believers, that shouldn't be how we roll as believers. Because as believers, we're created for purpose, and our purpose doesn't just come from what we want to do. We don't find purpose the way the world does. We find purpose in God's specific plan for each of us. And let me tell you today, church, God has a specific plan for each of us. And if you don't believe that, I want you to turn to your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and I'll prove it to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this: "For we are God's handiwork," some versions say masterpiece, "created in Christ Jesus to do good works." That word good works in the Greek means like jobs. To do good jobs, to do jobs, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So according to this verse, God has jobs that he has prepared in advance. Before we even said yes to Jesus, God had jobs in mind for us to do. Look at your neighbor and say, "I have a job." God has given us purpose. He has given us jobs. And not just for anybody random, but for believers. This letter right here was written to the church at Ephesus. Do you know what the church at Ephesus was? It was a bunch of believers getting together. So Paul wrote to a bunch of believers getting together, and he said, God has a specific plan and purpose for you. How many of you are believers at a church this morning? Yeah. If you're not raising your hand, you should be, either you're lazy. Okay, we're all believers, we're all at church. God has given this mandate, this specific purpose to all of us. Paul said we all have a purpose. God has a job for each and every one of us to do. In fact, it's not just some random generic job. God had already planned it before we even said yes to him. He had a purpose and a plan drawn out before we even said yes, but he's got a path for us to walk, and he's got a purpose for us to fulfill. So this morning, as we are the church, you know, there's a word we have for this purpose, and that the word we have in the church world we call purpose, calling. God has a calling for each of us. And this morning the question might become for you, well, I know God has a calling, but how can I know what my calling is, and how can I walk out my calling? And that's a perfectly logical question to ask when we think about purpose. So this morning I want to start by taking a look at the story of Moses, one of God's champions, to find an answer to those questions today. So I want to turn your attention to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to skip to verse 10. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus 3, 1 through 5, and we'll jump on to 10. Here's what it says. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Then he said, don't come near, take off your sandals, for the place that you're standing is holy ground. And he said to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Skip down to verse 10. After God had introduced himself a little bit to Moses, here's what he said. He said, come, I'll send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So in this passage, God essentially is giving Moses his job. Just like we talked about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, God had a pre-planned destiny for Moses, a pre-planned purpose, a pre-planned job, and his job was to deliver God's people from the nation of Egypt, which was a big task. But that's what God gave him. That's where Moses discovers his purpose, is in these passages that we just read. And I think that these passages and this calling presents a really good framework for us to answer the question, how do I find my call and how do I walk in my call? So that's what we're going to do this morning, and we're going to drill down on these passages a little bit, and we're going to answer those questions. So the first answer to that question is that when we're considering the call and how we find it and how it works and how we can walk in it, is that, number one, the call comes when we choose presence over pace. So if you look at Exodus chapter 3, again, we just looked at it, but I want to read it in a different translation, and we're going to look at the how unique this passage is and how it speaks to this. It says this, so Moses said, I must turn away, in parentheses, from the flock, and see this great sight, why this bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned away from the flock to look, God called him, and from the midst of the bush said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. I did not realize this until I was prepping for one of our encounter services. I think it was the first one that we ever did. I was reading this story, which I've read many times, and this little section stood out to me. It said that Moses turned away from the flock. What is the flock? What does that mean? Well, Moses was a shepherd. So when Moses turns away from the flock, what's he turning away from? He's turning away from his job. For the last 40 years, Moses had been a shepherd. He's turning away from his business. He's turning away from his day-to-day routine. So the last 40 years, shepherding was his rhythm of life. And it was when in the Bible, and it says it right there in verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw that he turned away from the flock to look, God called him from the midst of the bush. So it wasn't until Moses turned away from his day-to-day and he sought God and started taking steps toward the Lord, that's when God called him. The significance of that is this, that we get caught up in the day-to-day stuff, don't we? We get caught up in our jobs. We get caught up in the busyness. We get caught up in the schedules. We get caught up in the things of this world. And we ask the question, why doesn't God speak to me about my purpose? Why don't I know my purpose? I have heard so many Christians say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what his specific plan is. And my first answer to that question is, how much time are you spending with him? Have you disconnected and taken yourself closer to him? Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says this. Jesus said, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, this passage is not necessarily about this point. It's actually about being seen by people versus not being seen by people. But the principles in this passage are solid, and they're maintained throughout Scripture. It says, go into the secret place. Go into secret where your Father is in secret and pray in secret. So in other words, some versions say, go into your closet, okay? So in other words, disconnect from the world. Disconnect from the stuff. Disconnect from life and go to a solitary place. For what purpose? So that you can pray, so you can meet with God. Because when Moses got alone with God, when he turned away from the stuff, that's when God gave him his purpose. Isn't it? That's when he did it. And this church is step one. And I'll tell you what, never has this been more, never should we heed this word more than today, because we have so much happening in the pace of life. I don't know if you've noticed, but the pace of life is going faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And we get technology that we think is going to make our lives more productive, and it does. But does that slow our lives down? No, it just makes it faster, doesn't it? I mean, there's so much noise in this world. And sometimes when I'm probably the biggest offender of this, man, you go do something and pop in earbuds, right? You can listen to a podcast, you can listen to a book, you can multitask, but you know what the problem is that we never disconnect from the noise and we don't process. You know, back in the day, we didn't have the option of doing that, and we had to actually like sit and think while we did something boring, right? Novel idea, but there's so much noise in our world. You know, I go to like, this one always floors me. Like, even in the customer service industry, you know, you go up to like a restaurant or something, and there's the waiters and stuff always have like, earbuds, that's not old. They always have earbuds in. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you listening to? Are you getting, like, are they telling you what to do from behind the scenes, or what's going on? We have a lot of noise in our world. And the pace is fast in our world. And if we're going to discover our purpose, church, it's not found in the craziness. It's not found in the day-to-day. It's not found in the busyness of life. But as a believer, our purpose flows out of proximity with our Creator. So if we disconnect and if we take time to meet with the Lord, then our purpose starts to show up. He starts to reveal that to us as we do that. Because without God, we try to discover our purpose, or we try to live out a purpose, and it's like using a GPS with no signal. You know, you're moving fast and you're moving efficiently, but you're not moving in the right direction, and you're not going to end up at the place that you want to end up. You have to connect with him. Intentional time daily in his presence in the secret place. That is step one. If you're going to start somewhere in discovering God's call for your life, that is number one, and it cannot be overstated. Disconnect from the busyness of life and find that place with a solitary place with the Lord. Jesus did this all the time. You look at Jesus' ministry. When he made his most important decisions, he would disconnect from the rest of his disciples and the rest of the group. He'd go away to sometimes the Bible calls it lonely places. Like, when, for example, when he was picking the 12 apostles, he went away the entire night. He prayed. He disconnected. He got alone with the Lord. And then he came out the next day and he picked his 12 apostles. What was he doing? He was getting God's purpose, God's instructions for his ministry in that time. And it works the same way for us. Discovering your calling, number one, is to disconnect and to connect with the Lord and seek him in solitude. Then, when you've done that, you're ready to discover that. Number two, your call connects your passions with God's intentions. Now, I'm going to back up just one chapter in Exodus chapter 2, and it says this, verses 11 and 12. This is Moses again and God talking. It says, one day this isn't Moses and God. This is Moses' life when he was younger. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to his own people. Now, I need to give a little bit of history here. Moses, for those of you that don't know, was raised, he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in the palace as an Egyptian prince, but yet he still knew that he was a Hebrew, a Jew. And so that's the context of this. So let's pick it up again. He went out to where his own people, the Jews, were and watched them at their hard labor. They were slaves in Egypt. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, looking this way and that, seeing no one. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So what can we discern from that passage? What we can discern is that Moses had a passion already. Moses had a passion to see justice for the Jews, for the Hebrews. Now, the way that he went about it obviously was completely wrong, but we know that it was in there, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have confronted this guy. He wouldn't have got so angry that he killed him. There was a passion to see his people serve justice and to be free, right? It was already there. God had already been putting that into Moses' heart. And when Moses finally discovered his purpose, God married his passion with God's intentions, right? In Psalms 37:4, you probably know this verse, is very famous. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, obviously, in that verse, it says God will give you those desires. He's planted desires in your heart, but you have to delight yourself in him. That's where step number one comes in, right? Where you have to disconnect and you have to connect with the Lord. But when we do that, God so many times will use our passions that we already have to fulfill his purposes. After all, where do you think those passions came from? God places those and he plants them in our hearts. You know, it makes me think of a gentleman in our church back in 2017. Dennis Dopp, one of our longtime church members, sitting right here on the front row. He started driving around, noticing that there was an abundance of scrap metal in different places. And a thought dropped into his heart. What if we could take this scrap metal and sell it and give the money to missions? What would that be like? And so shortly thereafter, he went to the prayer meeting on Tuesday, and he shared with the prayer group this idea that he wanted them to pray about, because he's like, I don't know if it's my idea, God's idea, but I want to pray about this. And so he brought it to the prayer group on a Tuesday. The next week, there's a lady that came in. She was a dear saint. She's gone to be with Jesus. Her name is Shirley Andrews. She was a widow who actually lived right across the street. She came to the prayer meeting, and sometime during the prayer meeting, she pulled out three links of chain. And she said, Dennis, I believe this is a God idea. I want you to have this because this is the scrap metal that I have to give to the Lord. And that is all the confirmation that Dennis needed. And I stand before you this morning, 9 years later, to tell you that that calling has turned into $205,287 for missions. Praise the Lord. That is a huge milestone. I want to take some time to recognize some of the individuals that made this possible. So if you are part of the scrapping team this morning, I want you to go ahead and stand up today. I want to recognize you in this place. Yeah. If you are one of those people that's donated scrap and metal, I want you to stand up and be recognized this morning. If you donated scrap and metal, thank you. And Dennis has several members of the community that they've donated as well. So, but I want to say thank you to the scrap team, and I want to say thank you, Dennis, because God was marrying your passions with his intentions. So when God marries your passions with his intentions, this is one guy. I mean, Dennis obviously has a team, and he doesn't even want to be brought. In fact, he asked me if I wouldn't, but I said, no, I'm going to this morning. But one man with passions mixed with God's intentions made it possible for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ literally around the world to the tune of $205,000. That is a lot of missions money. Thank you, Dennis, for being obedient to Jesus when he laid that passion on your heart. That just is amazing to me. So, what does it take to find and walk out your calling? Well, I think number one, take inventory of the passions that God's put in your heart, because God can use those passions like breadcrumbs to help you follow the calling that he has on your life. And I don't know what that is. And God uses the craziest things in the world, like a passion for scrap metal, to do great things for his kingdom. I don't know what your passion is. And I'm not saying that every single passion you have is necessarily your calling, but it definitely could be a path to where God is calling you. So what do you have in your inventory this morning that you're passionate about? Is there a group of people that you're passionate about? Are you passionate about those who are underserved? Are you passionate about those who have special needs? Are you passionate this morning for things like politics? Are you passionate this morning for things like hunting? God can use hunting. I've seen him do it time and time again. Are you passionate to help ladies find their colors? I don't even know what that means, but it's a thing, okay? I don't know if I'm an autumn, a summer, or a winter. Maybe somebody can help me out. But doggone it, God can use that for his purpose, and you can change lives, because God has put passions down in you, not for any particular, or not just for nothing. God has put passions in you for him to use them as a calling to serve his kingdom. So today, I'm going to tell you this morning, use them, search them, ask God, God, is this something you've put within me that I can bless your kingdom and bless the world? Your passions mixed with God's intentions can do amazing things. So we invest our time in the secret place, allowing God to guide us and help us find our calling. And then God uses those passions that we have to pivot what we have and to find a calling. But then lastly, there's a little bit of a danger, because sometimes when we come to God and we're asking him about our calling, sometimes the enemy gets in there and gets us thinking, sometimes the enemy, sometimes our flesh, and we get to looking at this massive calling maybe that God has placed on our lives, and we say to ourselves, God, I'm not the right person. God, this calling is huge. Do you know who you're talking about? I've got insufficiency. I've got insecurities. There's things that I cannot do. Well, guess what? You're not the only one. Moses said the same thing to God. In fact, you'll find in Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4 that when God started laying out the purpose and the calling that for Moses, you know what Moses did? He wasn't like, yeah, God, send me. Moses said, what if they don't know who you are, Lord? That's what he said in chapter 3. And then God had to go on and give him this long explanation of how to know that it was him. And then after that explanation, Moses said in Exodus 4, 1b, but behold, they're not going to believe me or listen to my voice. Moses had an insecurity that they weren't going to listen to him. But God, they're not going to listen to me. God, they're not going to listen. What if you send me and they don't listen? And so God had to give him this long explanation and give him all these miracles that he could do right in front of them so that he would have credibility. And then after that, after all these miracles that God gives him, you know what he says? But God, in 4:10, he says, God, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and tongue. God, I'm tongue-tied. I'm not eloquent. I can't speak very good. Okay? That's what he said to God. And so God got a little upset with him. He's like, listen, who created the voice? But don't we do that, church? God gives us a calling, and all we can look at is our insufficiencies and our insecurities and what we can't do. If you have insufficiencies and if you have insecurities and you have things that you cannot do, guess what? You're the perfect candidate to be used by God. Let me show you in 1 Corinthians 12:9a, why that's true. It says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Where is God's power made perfect? In our weakness. God's not looking for someone who's perfect. God is not looking for someone who is extremely talented or has all the skills and all the abilities and all the experience. Not that he can't use those people, but he's not looking specifically for those people. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for people that think they can't. He's looking for people that aren't the most skilled, that don't have the most talent, that don't have the best looks, that don't have the best skills, abilities. He's looking for those people. Why is he looking for those people? Because when God moves through them and people see it, they say, oh, that person's not that great. They're not all that. There must be something else moving through them, and it is. It's God, and God gets the glory instead of your talents and your gifts and your abilities and your skills and your experience. If you have insecurities, you are the perfect candidate to be used by God. Your deficiencies become his opportunities, church. You probably have heard about this guy, or you've seen him, or you've seen videos, but this is the best example of this I can think to tell you about this morning. His name is, there's a man by the name of Nicholas Wojcik, and he's from Australia. Born in 1982 with no arms and no legs, he struggled in his childhood, as you can imagine. I mean, this world was not made for someone with no arms and no legs, so he struggled. He got made fun of at school. He went through periods of depression when he was younger. Even, I didn't even know this until I was studying for this message, but he tried to commit suicide when he was a young child because of his lot in life. But there was a turning point that came. See, his parents were Christians, and he's a Christian. One day, he was reading John chapter 9, and it's a story about a man who was healed, a blind man who was healed by Jesus. And there was a conversation around this blind man, and his disciples came to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man, or was it his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither. Neither of them sinned. It's so that this happens so that the works of God may be displayed in him. And that changed Nick's life, because he reasoned, if God could use a blind man to show his glory, then he could use someone like Nick with no arms and no legs to do the very same thing. So Nick's life in that moment took a turn for the best. Nick has allowed his deficiencies to become God's opportunities ever since. Nick has spoken to over 70 plus countries around the world. And as of today, 2026, this man with no arms and no legs has spoken over to an estimated 1 billion people, not million, billion people in this world. With no arms and no legs. What's your deficiency again? God can use anything. God can use anyone. Your insecurities, the very things that you look at and say, God can't use me, are the very reasons that God looks at you and says, you're the one that I want to use. So church, this morning, he's given you everything you need. And the things that you don't have are the things that he has. And that thing that you don't have keeps you in a humble place where you can lean on him because so that he can work through you. He's not looking for perfect, flawless people. He is looking for flawed people. He's not looking for talents. He's not looking for skills. He's not looking for abilities. He's looking for a yes. That's all he's asking for. At the beginning of this message, we watched that robotic arm slowly lose the very thing that gave it life. It kept moving and working, but eventually it ran dry. And the truth is this, that a lot of believers unfortunately live the same way. Busy and active, but empty of purpose. Saved, but empty of purpose. Not because God didn't have a calling for them, we know that he does for all of us, but because they never slowed down long enough to hear it. Or they never trusted that what was already in them could be used. Or they never believed that God could work through their weaknesses. But that, church, is not the life that God has called you to. You were created for a purpose, and you were created on purpose this morning. Not one day or when you feel ready, but now. So what do we do about it? I'm going to give you a very easy step today, very simple as I can make it. Like I said before, everything starts with step one. If you're going to discover your calling, you need to be in proximity. So what I'm going to ask you to do this week daily, and I'll shoot a number out there. Some of you probably do far more than this already. But I'm just going to say, spend 15 minutes, disconnect, intentionally disconnect from the noise, from the busyness, from the routine of life, disconnect and find that spot where you can be alone with the Lord. Because I know this, proximity equals purpose. When you get in the proximity of the Lord and you turn away from those things like Moses did, that's when you're going to find that God has purpose for you and you're going to be able to discover that in your life. So that's what I'm asking you to do today. No altar call, no coming forward, no anything like that today. It's you're going to make an altar at home on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and hopefully for the rest of your life. You're going to make an altar. You're going to find a space where you can be alone with the Lord and let him just drench you with purpose in your life, because he has things that he wants to share with you, he has jobs that he wants you to do. So don't live your life running on empty. Step in that purpose that God has for your life. Let him show you which you were made for. Let's pray today. Lord Jesus, God, you have put so much greatness in this room this morning. Father, I want to pray specifically for those in this room that do not feel like you could use them, whether it's their past, whether it's present circumstances, Lord, whether it's just the things that the enemy is whispering into your ear, like I'm not good enough, I don't have the skills, abilities, or talents. Lord, you see each and every soul in this place, God, and you have a plan according to your word in Ephesians 2:10 for each and every individual. You just need them to discover that plan. And so, Lord, as they disconnect from life and they spend time in the secret place with you, God, download that purpose from heaven into their hearts. God, and show them the great things you want to do. Father, this is a sending church. Lord, and there's a lot of people sitting in these seats who need to get sent. God, whether it's into this community, whether it's in other places in this church, whether it's other places in other cities or other nations or other countries across this world, Lord, you have a purpose for every single person in this place. Father, some in this place have been sitting far too long, not discovering their purpose. God, today is the day, Lord. Move on their hearts, God. Give them that reason. Give them that purpose, God. Give them the ability to carry it out. Father, thank you for bringing all of us together. Lord, thank you, God, that we have the ability to send and to go. Lord Jesus, I pray that, God, that there will be testimonies that come as people discover purpose and they find out what you've created them for. We worship you and we give you thanks. You're amazing, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen.